The following Dharma talk was given at Boundless Way Temple in Worcester, Massachusetts. The temple is an affiliate of Boundless Way Zen, a multi-lineage school of Zen Buddhism.
So already into our second week of practice here at our coming and going Sesshin. This training period, now the ninth one we've done here at the temple, where we have a Zen party for 3 weeks. We call it a party for introverts. Don't have to make conversation, but we can be together. And this being together is no small matter for us human beings. So many parts of our brain, of course, there's the troublesome brain, I think the nuisance brain, the seventh level of consciousness, the one that interprets everything and makes the stories and makes the plans, sets our schedule, makes sure that we pay the electric company so our electricity stays on. So a very useful brain, but a very troublesome. But also many other parts of the brain, the mammalian brain and the reptile brain. And there is some part of the brain called mirror neurons, these specific kind of neurons in the brain that are designed in mammals to receive and reflect the emotional field around us. So just like being with someone who is in a bad mood can be contagious, someone angry, we begin to feel angry or disturbed. Also, when we human beings come together to practice being ourselves, it's contagious that we really do support and encourage each other in this a wondrous silence. Of course, sometimes so difficult and challenging, but also moments where it opens up, maybe just a little, but maybe just one breath, we find our way. But we all support each other to do what alone is nearly impossible. So my great thanks to each one of you who is here this evening, because there is a grand equality to all this. Doesn't matter if you've been sitting for 40, 50 years, or you're new tonight, whether you've been here from, we say, the beginning or not, because here is the beginning, and each one of us now has sat the whole Sesshin, and here we go into the whole rest of the Sesshin, this lifetime together, and in my mind, there is no more important work for human beings to do than to come to terms with ourself. We are such dangerous and hostile creatures, and this world is indeed in deep trouble on so many levels that for us to make this vow when we sit to face up to the truth. It is a huge thing, requiring great courage, maybe great folly too. Who would do this? Only a small number of slightly crazy people. And you are my brothers and sisters, all of you, crazy people who think this might be a good idea to look deeply into the matter. And this evening I want to say a few words about another one of these Lojong slogans. We've been exploring the 7 points and 59 slogans for generating compassion and resilience, this ancient Tibetan Buddhist teaching that we are stealing from them. All these Buddhist teachings, and I suppose we could take teachings from almost any religion. If we were faithful, if we looked sincerely in, we would find the truth of it in some deep way. And the Tibetan Buddhists, also Mahayana Buddhists, are close cousins. And in these teachings, I think that we are clarifying some of our understanding and clarifying some of these shared teachings. This morning, Alan went on to point number four, make practice your whole life, and I've decided tonight we should go backwards, so I'm back to point three. Maybe I'm just stuck on point three. Transform bad circumstances into the path. I guess because easy to find abundance in this area. All of us have such difficulties, and the heart of this Lojong teaching is that everything is included, and that these difficult circumstances are indeed the entry point to liberation. Very moment, the very conditions and circumstances of your life are the entry point into liberation. And specifically to talk about slogan number 12, which is one of the ones that I think is less clear. A number of these slogans are quite obvious and self-evident, and but some are a little more challenging. And slogan number 12 in the Transform Bad Circumstances is drive all blames into one. So taking up this matter of blame. So today I've been thinking about blame, thinking about praise and blame, these conditions we encounter, fame and disgrace, gain and loss, pleasure and pain, these eight worldly winds. This blame is quite a strong wind. And that we human beings, when something is not going our way, tend to immediately look to blame someone. We encounter difficult circumstances, and it's such a strong habit for us to say, well, whose fault is this? Of course, we continually forget this first teaching of the Buddha, that difficulty is unavoidable. Secretly, we think that if we behave right and other people behave right, that we will be able to avoid this. So difficulty or discomfort, anger, surprise, shame come, and immediately we go to this must be someone's fault. Some of us immediately look outward and decide we have to find what's to blame. Well, this situation is to blame, and whose fault is it? Well, it must be this person's or that person's. We see that quite clearly. Or we blame ourselves. Well, this situation is because clearly I'm a defective person. I've caused this once again. Look at what I've done. But both these assignations of blame, the blaming someone else or blaming ourself, really are avoidance strategies. When we look for who to blame, there is one, the underlying assumption that this was avoidable. Now, of course, there are some things that maybe we can do differently and some things we would want to do differently, but nothing that has happened to you up to this point in your life was avoidable. The chances of what have happened in your life happening are 100%. There is no going back. There is no other life. Somehow, because we can have these brains that can imagine a different life, we think that there is actually something else that could have happened. Now, maybe in the future, when we are faced with certain circumstances, we can respond differently. And I do hope that we are indeed learning from everything that happens. But nothing that has happened can be different. Norman Fisher talks about this going beyond blame. He sees this driving all blames into one as a way of simply, we might say, playing another game. It's actually not important who caused it, and it is actually impossible to determine who caused it. The causes and conditions, the number of factors that play into any situation are beyond our knowing. This is part of the Buddhist idea of karma, that causes and conditions are constantly unfolding. And that while we might know some of the causes and conditions, we might know some nearby factors, we can never know the full story. And so Norman Fisher says that we should take the full appreciation and full responsibility for everything that arises in our lives, no matter whose fault it is. And I think this is a wonderful entry point here to take full appreciation and full responsibility for everything that arises in our lives. This full appreciation, I think, is actually what we work with, what we practice here on the cushion. Because usually we appreciate some things and try to avoid or fix or run away from others. But we are practicing appreciating life. We might say we are trying to become realists, that what is here is here. The emotions that are here, the thoughts that are here, the sensation, all of this is here. And are fighting it or are trying to fix it or push it away really doesn't help. But we practice appreciating what arises. And indeed, in life, there is pleasure and there is pain. There is gain and there is loss. There are times when things will come to you. You will gain in some way, maybe gain a friend, maybe a new place to live, maybe a new pencil, who knows. But there are times when you will lose. You will lose a friend. You will lose your pencil. And you can look everywhere sometimes, and the pencil has simply run away. I think those of us that are getting some years, getting some mileage on the tires here, things seem to run away more quickly. I thought I knew where I put that. But we lose gain and loss, fame and disgrace. Of course, as we move through our life, sometimes people say, good job. That was quite nice, that speech you gave, or that that thing you did, quite nice. And then other times we'll say, you are such an idiot. Only an idiot would do that. I can't believe that someone like you would do something like that. And all of us get both from people we know, from people we don't know, from our partners. Sometimes our partners look at us and say, oh, sweetie, you are amazing. And then other times our partners and friends look at us and say, who are you? What am I doing with you? We get both sides, and both sides come up for us. I'm doing quite well. No, I'm an idiot. We are learning to participate in our life, to appreciate both the gain and the loss, both the bitter and the sweet, and then to take responsibility for it. So the encouragement, rather than trying to find whose fault it is, trying to make sure that we are the one who is right, and to make sure the other person knows that we are right. This is an endless game. This leads to wars, terrible things. We are turning our attention. We are taking responsibility here on the cushion. Taking responsibility, whatever you encounter is your life. It is not someone else's fault. Here on retreat, we get to see that more clearly because we can go through our many changes in the space of just one sitting period, and nothing has happened. Very difficult to blame someone else, although we can be quite creative about our blame. Finding the way the person next to us is breathing is clearly ruining our retreat. If only I were sitting in a different place where the sun wasn't in my eyes, then I would be. But we see through these and see that we do live in this reciprocal world. The world is not the little self that is on some kind of stage, but a mutual creation, the mutual creation of the self encountering the world. And so everything we encounter is ourself. Everyone we encounter is ourself. So we take responsibility for what arises. And then this allows us then to figure out what to do. So important to meet what arises and to stay focused on life, to stay focused on what we want most. One of the things that is helpful for me when I am stuck in these conversations in my head about how other people should behave differently so I can feel differently is to, somewhat as Nat was saying earlier, to take responsibility, to say, what do I really want? And then to turn my attention back to myself. If there is a problem, then what is my part in it? Sometimes can be very useful to look at that. If what I want is to grow in love and understanding, if what I want is this true life to be myself, then stay at home. No need to run off criticizing or convincing other people, but to work on what I can work on, to accept responsibility, sometimes, of course, to say, I'm so sorry, it wasn't my intention. But to move on. So here on the cushion, whether you think it's going well or not going well, no need to blame anyone, no need to make up a story, but rather to come back to this precious moment. This is life, this bitterness, this sweetness, and it is indeed so precious, over so quickly. So let us continue this evening to joining together in this great work of being ourselves, of appreciating our lives. Thank you.